Log Talk Radio.
There we go.
Home of the stars, through the airwaves and on the big screen. Coming to you live from Hollywood, it's Rated G Radio with your host, Garrett Miller.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Rated G Radio. It's been a couple of weeks with our Christmas break that we took over, you know, Christmas and New Year's, and I'm thrilled to be back. We've got a whole year of exciting programming. I just got kind of like goosebumps hearing that intro again. I need to thank Brian Pothier for doing the music on that and help getting me a little bit inspired towards fourth quarter. But we've got a great month of programming already for you, and we're going to start it off tonight. I'm not even going to waste any time chit-chatting with you before the show. We're going to welcome filmmaker and so much more, Mr. John D. Harris, to the show. He has a documentary that is out right now called Missing Pieces, and we're going to be talking to him about all of that, why he made the film and why it's so impactful. So, John, since this is your first time to the show, welcome to Rated G Radio.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here, Garrett.
I'm so excited to have you on the show tonight. I need to tell you, when I knew that you were going to come on the show, I watched the documentary, and I just actually watched it again tonight right before the show started. Are you a filmmaker by trade, or do you do something else for your regular life?
No, I have a 9-to-5. I work for an entertainment law firm here in Beverly Hills.
And so how did you get to the point where you said, you know what, I think I'm going to make a short film about things that are going on in society today?
It came about like 5 years ago. I was at home back in Indianapolis, which is where I'm from originally, and I was sitting around having a conversation with a couple of guys that I know. And we were just talking about divorce and fatherhood and, you know, parenting. And, you know, it's like I had this epiphany. This light went off in my head, like, you know, nobody talks about divorce from a male's perspective. And not only that, but, you know, what the kids go through.
It's
and
tough.
So that's how the film came about.
So now, is this something that you know about firsthand?
Yes, it is. Actually, it is. You know, to make a long story short, my wife was pregnant with my son, who is now 5 years old, and she served me divorce papers while she was pregnant.
Oh my
and
gosh!
And so that, yeah. So that's a, you know, a totally whole nother story within itself. Out of that experience, I didn't know anything about, you know, parenting or going through the judicial system within itself as a whole. And literally, I learned the hard way in court. When I say the hard way, like literally, I think I got my behind handed to me on a tissue.
Wow. So what was the court experience like for you then?
It is, for me, it was depressing. I felt humiliated, embarrassed, because you go there thinking, you know, you go there with this, you know, with this intent that, okay, things are going to be fair. Then the reality hits you is it's not fair. You know, I can understand if, you know, as a man, if you're not trying to be in your child's life, but when you're trying to be there and you still get the short end of the stick, it hurts. I mean, from a psychological standpoint, I went into a deep depression.
So yeah. Why do you think in 2015, we'll go back 5 years, let's say, you know, in 2010 or 2009 when this was going on in your particular situation, why do you think that we are at this stage in society where, I mean, and I'm going to think about this from your perspective, from as a father, why do you think that the judicial system is so skewed, if I could use that word, towards the mother, or, you know, just maybe not giving you as much in the slice of the pie as you would like?
I think it's just, and you know, I interviewed in the film, I interviewed a family court judge, and we were off camera, and that was one of the questions I asked, you know, is why is it that when a man goes to court, he loses. And, you know, the judge tried to explain it to me as, you know, as politically correct as he could. He says a lot of times that what happens is that when a man goes, you know, he's not prepared. You know,
so
go ahead.
Who prepares guys then? I mean, how do guys, are we just thinking that, oh, we'll just show up and it's going to be okay? Or does somebody need to sit down and have kind of like the talk with us about what to expect?
Yeah, I think what it is someone needs to sit down and have a talk with us, because I think for guys it's you know, we go and we're taught to, you know, we're taught to be fighters when we're young, and that's all we know. But I think in hindsight, I think, you know, and I'll say for myself, is that nobody teaches us about the legal system and that process of it. Like, we're taught to, you know, we're taught to go to work, we're taught to provide for our families, we're taught to do this, we're taught to do that. But nobody teaches us the basic things of when it comes to legal, you know, being, you know, going in court and being involved in things from a legal perspective. You know, one of the things that I learned in that, excuse me, going through that whole process was, you know, you got to have your I's dotted and your T's crossed. You can't come in there and just think, hey, you know, I'm a father and this is, you know, I'm there. No. Everything has to be documented, which is, you know, and if you're trying to work a 9-to-5 and you're trying to provide for your kid, even though while you're going through this process, again, it's just one of those things is it hurts. You lose focus and, you know, you don't think about that.
So do you... And I'm not picking on the ladies here, so all the ladies out there, I'm certainly not doing that at all. But do you think that the ladies get better coaching, or is it just, you know, by default society says, okay, that, you know, the women are going to get the kids because, you know, the dad, you know, he can't be around, he's going to be working.
Right. I think I think that, you know, it goes on. It should go on a court by court basis. But you're talking to a guy that went through it firsthand, not just my case, but watching other cases that went before mine and seeing guys that, you know, like one guy, I was in court, he had custody, but his wife kept switching attorneys, that's her choice.
Sure.
So at some point, it's like, you know, you have to, as a judge or the mediator, you have to say, this is enough.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he has a kid, he's doing a great job. This is here's your visitation schedule, because that's what they do to men. You know, if you're a man and, you know, you're doing a great job, you know, my case is I got grandfathered. You know, it's like, okay, you get 3 hours this week. You get 3 hours this day, 3 hours that day. You know, and, you know, man, you spoke earlier, and I shared with you that my son lives out of the state of California. So initially when I started traveling to go see my son, I was getting 3 hours a day.
So, okay, I have to ask you, so how do you plan your life? You know, you've got your life here. Your son lives in Arizona.
Right.
How do you plan that, okay, I'm going to fly over, I'm going to get my 3 hours, and then get on a plane and come back? How do you plan that?
You don't. You just go with it. You know, because at the end of the day, it's not about you. It's about you being the best parent that you can to
right.
a child. And that's, I think that's, once my focus shifted from being, you know, disappointed, you know, from the depression that I, this, you know, depression I went through, the spiral, the meltdown psychologically, like, I can't believe I'm here. It became about my son. And that's what it is. And so to this day, that's what I focus on. It's not about me. You know, I'm the parent. It's about him.
Absolutely. I love hearing that. So, But I'm just trying to understand for me, how do you plan how you're going to go over there? So you know you're going to get X number of hours or days or things like that. And I'm just trying to think logistically. Are you just flying over, hanging out, and then coming back? Or are you, you know, trying to spend some more time over in Arizona? Or how does that work for you?
Well, you know, because now that I get more time, because my son is older, I go over there. Right after I get off work, and he comes and stays with me on Saturday and Sunday, Sunday night or early Monday morning, I come back to L.A.
Oh, my God.
So
okay.
So, you're
getting some time.
Yeah. So, you know, it's every 2 weeks for me. So it's already, it's, you know, it's etched in stone at this point.
There you go. So what do you and your son like to do when you're hanging out?
Believe it or not, my son and I watch cartoons. That, you know, we have this ritual, like, you know, he likes cartoons. We watch pretty much any good animated any G-rated animated TV show.
Absolutely.
And, you know, yeah, and then on Sunday mornings, we have our ritual. It's like we go to our favorite little Chick-fil-A, if I may say that online.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, you
bet. We go to Chick-fil-A for breakfast every Saturday morning, regardless. And then on Sunday mornings, we'll start our day off with brownies. And then we'll take it from there. So, you know, we make the best of it. You know, we do movies. My son takes swimming lessons, so I'll take him to swimming lessons on Saturday when I'm there. He does soccer, take him to soccer. So I make sure, you know, we make sure as parents, me and my son's mom, that he's very active. And not only that he's active, but he has a positive, he gets that positive outlook on that.
I love hearing that. So now, I love brownies. So I hate to go back and ask this. Are you baking the brownies? Or are you getting these at the store, or
getting
is there a special recipe? Okay,
We're getting them at the store. There's a certain brand. I won't mention the brand, but there's a certain brand that we buy. You know, and like we'll munch on those.
Very good. So, okay, let's get back to the film, because I only got you for a little bit of time tonight, so I want to make sure we cover the film. By the way, I think that there's at least one or two pictures of you at the end of the movie, and if you stay for the closing credits, everybody, you'll get to see pictures of great fathers with their children, and I think that is a real testament to your film here, John, tonight. But there was a picture of you and your son in the swimming pool.
Yeah.
Okay.
We were clowning around. Yeah, he likes to swim, and so so do I.
We were talking earlier, and you said that he was in Arizona, I was like, because I saw the palm trees in the background, and I said that must have been on one of your trips. So let's talk about the film. So you got together with a bunch of guys, and you're sitting here talking about stuff. How did you decide that you wanted to put this into like a documentary form?
Well, the crazy thing is I came back to L.A. because I was out of town at the time, and I came back, and I just realized that, you know, I couldn't put it in a feature film form. So, you know, having guys tell their side of the story only made sense to me to do it as a documentary. You know, these are guys that that I met via friends that were just willing to share, and so that's how that process came about.
And so did you have an end goal as far as how long you wanted it to be, or how much of a story you wanted to tell when you sat down to make this?
Yeah, well, the crazy thing, Garrett, is I wanted it to be a feature, but due to some technical issues with one of the editors that I had at the time, we didn't get all the footage on there. So there's still more footage that that I need to show, but for right now I wanted to shoot it as, you know, utilize the short film that I had and just get the word out with that. And, you know, thanks to guys like yourself who has like this amazing show, you know, and I'm on it, so I'm happy.
So, because I love the fact that you have a regular job and you decided that you wanted to make a movie. Had you ever done anything like this in the past?
Believe it or not, I was in Chicago. I used to live in Chicago. So my first acting, I was, you know, in Chicago doing some acting, taking some acting lessons. My first gig was in Barbershop 2.
No kidding. Really?
Yeah, that was my first gig ever. Yeah, it was my first gig. And, you know, it was so fun, but at the same time, it was hot. You know, when we shot that film, it's almost been 10 years ago now.
Yeah, it's been a hot minute. So there. So, where did you go from that movie? Did you do other work, or? And I guess because if you were an actor, how do you end up, you know, kind of like saying I'm going to make this film?
Well, the funny thing is, I had the opportunity while on set because I was on set for like 30 days consistently. And I was able to just, you know, meet a couple of people that was working with Ice Cube, and actually kind of just set am behind the director's chair and kind of watched.
And you got the bug.
Yeah, exactly. And I was like, okay, this is it. You know, they can have the front. Let me have the back. And I asked questions. I believe in asking questions. I think that there's no such thing as a wrong answer.
So that's
how it came about.
So how did you pick the people that were going to be in the film?
Believe it, word of mouth through friends. That's what the
really?
And I'm a man of faith, and I say that because everybody that I called was like on board, literally. I didn't do any, put out a casting call or nothing. I was just told one guy, and he's like, man, I got a friend. You got to talk to him. It's like, I got another friend. You got to talk to him.
Oh my gosh, Johnny.
Yeah. It just everybody everybody that I called personally, they came.
How are they going to say no, right?
Yeah, I mean, even when it came to the judge, he didn't know me from a can of paint. And I called somebody, and they were like, I told them what I was doing, and the guy said, okay, I'm going to get back with you. And like less than a week, this judge, he says, Judge Eli Chernoff is on board. And, the judge invites me into his house. I mean, how many times does let you come into the
house? Oh, yeah, that doesn't happen ever.
Yeah, so he invites me in his house, and I'm in his house filming. Yeah, and it was just like that, that within itself just confirmed everything that I was on the right track with this.
How long did it take to actually do the filming part of it?
It took me, because I pay for everything out of my pocket, off and on, I got to be honest, it took me close to 5 years to finish this, and it's not even finished.
Yeah, because you've got more footage that you want to put in.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, especially when you're doing it out of pocket. We're going to get to this section when, we save up enough, pennies and rubles and shekels to get to the next scene. I totally get that. So can you talk about some of the statistics that you quote at the very beginning of the film about single parents and, worldwide and in the United States?
Yeah, I got my information from the Census Bureau. And I got some information from the Department of Family and Children's Services here in L.A., and they were kind enough to, tell me, hey, go to this website. And another good source of information I got was from the National Fatherhood Initiative, which is based out of Maryland, and they have, a great, a great resource of information over there. With the stats and, facts and figures. So a lot of the stuff I just went online and found.
Wow. So at the very beginning, it talks about a number both worldwide and then in the United States about single-parent households. What are those numbers?
I can't quote them right off the top of my head, but I think it's something like 22 million, if I'm not mistaken.
22 million in the United States.
Yeah, and worldwide, I think it's like 44 million or something like that. Yeah.
That is staggering.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's very staggering.
You were talking to a lady in the film, and she was talking about she's giving out lots of statistics, but she says, it's very hard to get people to, go to the doctor or, ask for help or ask for questions. And there's a quote on here that she said that 80% of African Americans will at some point in their childhoods be without a father in their home or within a single parent household. I had to listen to that like twice to make sure I was not hearing that incorrectly. That seems like a staggering number.
Yeah, it is. That's Dr. Jhené Romero. She was an amazing help for me in the film. She did her internship at the county jail downtown.
Oh my gosh!
And so we talked. Extensively about as a parent, how do you bring your child down to the jail so that he can see his father through like this 8-inch thick piece of glass? And I'm like, kids need to feel their parents. They need to know what their parents smell like. And I said, I just asked her one night when we were filming, I said, is that the new norm now? She said, it's not the norm, but it just, it, she said it just, it creates these boundaries for kids, you know, knowing that they're, go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead, please.
No, she said it just creates these, you know, this boundary for a kid that, you know, his dad is there, he can't touch him. And, you know, it's like, it brings questions, as she said, it brings questions for the child as the child gets older, where's daddy at?
Mm-hmm.
You know, mom has to explain.
Help me here, because I talk to people like you. You know, you're a good dad. You have a good heart. You want to do great things. You know, and unfortunately, it just didn't work out, you know, with mom, and sometimes that's the way it goes. Why do you think that in across the board for everybody, so it's not just a Hispanic thing or a Caucasian thing or an African-American thing, it's across every ethnic background in the world, why do you think we know once we get to a certain age, you know, we need to have that mom and dad, or we need to have the parents, but, you know, things happen and it splits it. And we keep teaching kids, I think, the wrong message. Why are you able to teach kids the right message? Because, I mean, it sounds like that's exactly what you're doing. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but you're doing the right thing. Why is it so hard for us as a culture to not repeat these mistakes that we keep making generation over generation over generation?
I mean, that's an excellent question. I think, for me, it's, you know, it's not about me. I think, you know, as parents, I think, you know, we're so hell-bent on trying to get, you know, what we want across or what we think we should have. And, you know, it's not, you know, and once you come to that conclusion that, you know what, forget about this, forget about the house, forget about the car, just, you know, let's just raise our kid the way we're supposed to as adults. But, you know, we're so busy trying to make sure that the other parent looks bad and, you know, be disrespectful for whatever the reasons are. You know, I don't know. But, you know, for me, I think we have, as adults, we have to make a conscious decision. Hey, you know what, it didn't work. Okay. But that doesn't mean because it didn't work that we can't, you know, make it work for our child. Our child needs to see both of us, not just you and not just me. He needs to see both parents, and he needs to see them working together, you know, as functional parents, not dysfunctional parents.
Absolutely, absolutely. So everybody who's listening to the show, you're obviously on the computer because this is an online radio program. There is a link for the documentary that you can click on YouTube, and it's 18 minutes and like 20 seconds long. I really am going to ask you to go and take a look at that, whether you're happily married, you're divorced, you're thinking about getting married, you're somewhere in between any of those spectrums, and take a look at this because it is one of the John, you did such a wonderful job on it. I mean, I could gush all night long, but you did such a wonderful job about talking about what it's like from a father's perspective, especially a single father.
Right.
What would you like listeners, because this is a radio soundbite tonight, so what would you like listeners to know about you and about your movie that they don't know yet?
What would I like for them to know about me is that I'm the same as the next guy. The only difference is about me is I choose to fight. I choose to fight for not myself, but I choose to fight for my son. And I think if you look at the movie and, you know, you take yourself out of the equation and just look at it from a man's perspective of how he views it, and I think you'll get a better understanding that all men are not bad. We're not bad parents. You know, we just want to be a part of our child's lives. And I think that's what they should walk away with. You know, look, you know, your dad wants to be there. You know, let him in. You know, talk to the child, talk to the father, and y'all sit down and y'all make it, you know, you two, the parents, make it a conscious effort to do what's right by the child and not what's right for them. You know, my story is no different.
You're a good man. Do you have Twitter or Facebook or social media or a website that you'd like to maybe promote tonight?
I do have a Twitter. Facebook. It's 1899 Films. A lot of people say it's difficult to find me, but I'm there. If you look under, just look under 1899 Films. I do have a Twitter, 1899 Films at Twitter. Yeah, so that, and the website will be up sometime next month. We're working on that. And we're also working on doing a blog radio, believe it or not, where we can give men a chance to call in and talk about their issues and, you know, try and get them help, because that seems to be the biggest issue that men, we don't like to fight. We'll fight for everything else, but, you know, we'll quit on our kids. And that's not fair to the kid.
No. I'll tell you, I'm sure you have plenty of people out there helping you, John, but if you need any help or if you have questions, you let me know. Anything I can do to help you, it'd be my pleasure to shake your hand to get that going. So.
Yeah, absolutely. We have to do breakfast or lunch or something.
I'm really good for, 'cause I'm clear down in Huntington Beach, so breakfast, unless I get up at like 4 in the morning to come meet you. I know you have a trek to get into L.A., but unless we're up at like 4 in the morning, I don't think that's going to happen. But love to take you to lunch one day, so I'll publicly say that today. There we go.
Yeah.
John, it's been a pleasure having you here. His film is called Missing Pieces, and it's on YouTube right now. If you're, again, listening to the show at any point now or in the future, there's a link for it right there. Just click it and watch it. It's 18 minutes and 20 seconds. You can sit and enjoy your morning coffee or your lunch or your dinner or your dessert and be educated along the way. And, John, hopefully you'll come back and talk to us about your other projects in the future, and stay on the line. For everybody else, we'll be back right after this. This is Pharrell Williams. Happy.
Clap along.
I love listening to The Happy. I don't care if it's a year old. It still makes my night, as does John Harris, who was on the show earlier tonight for his documentary called Missing Pieces. It's a film about single parents, specifically single fathers. I hope you will go check it out. If you're listening to the show, go click the link. It's 18 minutes that will change your life. And I want to give some shout-outs to listeners who are listening tonight. Anita, I know you're in the chat room tonight. I wonder how much snow you have in Redmond, Oregon. We've got John in Connecticut, Anthony in Long Beach, Wesley in he's not in Baton Rouge. He's somewhere in Mississippi. We've got Tim in Alabama, John in Orange County, John in the Inland Empire, Robert in Wisconsin, Teresa in Salem, Oregon, Davey in St. Louis. I've got Gail she's in the Orange County area. Jeff in he's in Hollywood. Christine down in Orange County, and Patrick up in Hollywood as well. So everybody who's listening tonight, thank you for listening. Also, Bill in upstate New York, I see you there as well. Thank you for being part of year number three as we start Rated G Radio for its third year. I have so much to talk about, but I first want to let you know who you can expect to hear for the rest of this week. We're actually booked for most of January at this point, which I'm shocked at because, quite frankly, I took 2 weeks off just to go see my parents over Christmas or right before Christmas, get some stuff done in the recording studio, which I'll talk about in just a second, and have not done anything on the show as far as trying to get anybody scheduled. And I looked at the calendar today right before John came on, and was like, holy cow, I've got January filled up. Tomorrow, Dr. Annie Ulrich returns to the show. You'll know her. She reads tea leaves. She's an intuitive. She is a dream interpreter, and she is always one of the most popular guests we have on the show. And she's going to come back tomorrow night on Tuesday to talk about the 2015 energy overview for everybody. Wednesday, we've got an early show with, I say comic, but I mean like comic book writer, not a comedian, but a comic book writer. He's an artist. He's a producer. He's also an award-winning teacher here in Southern California. His name is Victor Fan. Victor will join us on Wednesday at 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Thursday, I've got Dr. Daryl Scriven, who is coming on the show. He is an acclaimed professor from universities across the United States. He's going to be talking about student loan debt and why it is such a huge problem for many of our kids across the country. And then Friday, we have Kelly's Lot with Kelly Zerba. She's going to be coming back onto the show. She was a guest last year. And now that we're doing our Friday broadcast and broadcasting on two channels in the United Kingdom, I said, we need to get Kelly back on the air. Plus, she tours Europe in the summer. So she's got lots of fans everywhere across the pond. So that's this week. Next week, it is crazy, 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 but I'll spare you the details for that until later in the week. But again, tomorrow, Dr. Annie Ulrich, so make sure to tune in for that. I will tell you, Wesley, again, I see you on Facebook. Thank you for listening. I appreciate you tuning in and sending me a little pop-up right now. We have had just a crazy, crazy couple of weeks. I say we, it's the royal we, it's me. Crazy couple of weeks off of the air. The time has flown by like you wouldn't believe, but one of the things that flew by last week on Tuesday night, right before New Year's Eve, we had this huge rain and windstorm that hit Southern California. And there, you might have seen some of the pictures in the news where we had snow pretty much everywhere except at the beach. So if you drove like 10, 15 miles inland, you were going to be hitting snow drifts and snow piles and snow on the roads and that type of thing. Crazy. We just don't have that in Southern California. So Tuesday night, I'm getting all snuggled into the bed because I can hear it raining outside. Got the puppies all in, you know, they've all lined up and, you know, marched into bed. About 10, 10:30 at night, I hear this. Could have been like a bomb going off. I'm like, oh, this is just not going to be good. I go outside, and I've got this 10 by 12 canopy, you know, like a picnic canopy type of a thing, but it's, you know, heavy duty, blah, blah, blah. It normally covers my storage. It's really like a wardrobe, but I call it my storage cabinet, my storage shelves, my elliptical, and some other stuff that I've got kind of like, you know, tucked away out on the courtyard. It's on the roof. The wind had been blowing so hard, it blew the entire canopy tent onto the roof. Now, keeping in mind that it's 10:30 at night, it is freezing cold, and I'm in, like, you know, gym shorts and barely, I think I had a sweatshirt on, you know, because it's cold, so that's the weather we, you know, gym shorts and a sweatshirt. So I race out to the front room and yell at my roommate, Marcus, and I said, Marcus, I think we have a problem. So he's looking at me like I've lost my mind. drag him outside, and he's like, uh-oh, this isn't good. And I said, I didn't think so. So our tent's up on the roof, and it's mixed in with the power lines. And I just said, I said, okay, I guess if tonight's going to be the night that I'm supposed to go, tonight's going to be the night. So we get ladders, climb up, you know, get it pulled down, and just pulling on the wires, thankfully they're coated or whatever, because obviously I'm here talking to you tonight and didn't die. But it was quite harrowing because the wind was still going, the rain was still going, and it was absolutely freezing cold out. And so for the last, I don't know, better part of a week, the courtyard has looked a mess as everything's kind of been, you know, kicked around and that type of thing. But thankfully, today I was able to get it back into some sort of order. I know that's of paramount importance to you, but I will tell you, having a clean work area or living area does wonders to my psyche for being able to be, you know, kind of like in a zen state. So I want to thank Home Depot for some great shelves. They didn't donate them. I had to buy them, but they had some great shelves that were on sale, was able to go get some things re-put back together, and life is once again on a better path. Say that. So outside of the crazy weather that we had here, I had a great opportunity to head over to Phoenix and see my dad and Karen for a few days. Got to go see my, I call her my BFF, but probably one of the longest friends I've had in Phoenix, my friend Krisha. Also Elaine, who's listening tonight out of Phoenix, and, you know, had a client meeting and did some things like that. I came home in the Camaro. You know, I drive the Bumblebee, so it's a yellow Camaro convertible. My dad has this lemon tree that produces lemons that tend to be ripe right around Christmas. So he used the incentive of, if you come over here for Christmas, you can pick as many lemons as you want. And I planned on going over anyhow for a few days just to say hi and hang out and do, you know, the things that I needed to get done. But as soon as he said, I will throw in the lemons, it was done. I made sure that Marcus could take care of the puppies, made sure I had enough dog food made so everything was good, and went over. On the way back, on the Tuesday before coming back, so I came back on Christmas Eve. So the Christmas Eve, my dad and I are out in the backyard in his house in Phoenix, and I'm picking lemons. And not just a few lemons. I came back with 180 pounds of lemons in the back of the Camaro, and actually I couldn't fit any more in the car, otherwise I would have taken them. But filled up three huge, heavy-duty, ultra-super-duper ply-strength garbage bags with lemons. So people think I've absolutely lost my mind. But I drink probably 2 to 3 or 4 lemons in an afternoon. I also drink the lemons at night. So I just basically, you know, take the peel off, put them in the Vitamix with some hot water, you know, puree it up, and that's what I drink all the time. I don't put in sugar, or if I really want something, I might put in a little bit of honey, but that's it. So I've been going through the lemons like there's no tomorrow, and I'm grateful because even on a good deal here in Southern California, lemons are maybe 2 for $1, 3 for $1, something like that at Sprouts. They're usually about 59, 69 cents a piece at the regular grocery store. So coming home with all of those lemons, huge score. So that was the best Christmas present that my dad could have given me this year. Really enjoyed that. We're going to play a couple more songs and come back with some more music news because that's what's going on in my world, and I can't wait to share it with you. And this is, now I'm trying to figure out what we want to play here. How about a little Huey Lewis in the News? We'll be right back. It's hip to be square. I also want to give a shout-out to Angela and Kenneth Downey of Downey's Desserts, of course, in Southern California. They are listening tonight, and also I need to give them a big round of thanks because this past year they were really instrumental in kind of like, you know, taking Garrett out and, you know, showing him around a little bit for some of the events that they were at. One of them, over the Christmas break, so I can share this with you, I had the great privilege of going to Scott and Renee Bayo, you know, Scott from Happy Days. They have an annual Christmas party up at their home every year, and his lovely wife, Renee, invited me out to their ugly sweater contest. So here, I'm going to tell you a little story because this fits into Ken and Angela and just the fact that of you know, how incredible they are. So I'm in getting my hair reblonded, as one of a certain age tends to need to do at this stage of the game every once in a while. And I was not able to get in before that Saturday. So it was, I think, Saturday the 18th or whatever that worked out to be. And got in to go see Larry, who is Angela's brother. So Angela's brother, Larry, now does my hair. Larry does a great job, doesn't waste any time. I'm in and out of there in like under 2 hours. And that sounds crazy, but when the last place that I was going to, it was like 3 hours or longer to get my hair done. I'm like, holy cow, my butt's falling asleep. I just don't have time for that. Did a great job, but it, you know, it just drove me nuts. So Larry does my hair, does a great job, and Larry tells me the secret. And he goes, for the ugly sweater contest at the Bayo's tonight, Ken and Angela have really outdone themselves. And, you know, because I kind of figured out what I was going to just wear a sweater or something like that. And then I hear that Ken has no ugly sweater, but he's going to wear a Christmas tree, you know, the skirt. He's going to wear a Christmas tree skirt as his ugly sweater. And I said to Larry, I said, Larry, you know what I'm going to have to do, because I've already got an ugly sweater lined up. I have to go get a Christmas tree skirt and outdo Ken, because now that I know this, I can show up to the Bayo's party with Ken and Angela there, and I'll walk in with this great Christmas skirt, ugly sweater, and, you know, everybody will get a big laugh out of this. So I'm telling you, when I get to the party, you know, so, okay, so I get my hair done. Larry does a great job, as he always does. I stop at the 99-cent store and buy decorations, buy a tree skirt, I buy several tree skirts, figure I'm going to morph this thing together, come home. I am able to bobby pin and hot glue two tree skirts together. I glue ornaments to it. I attach garland. I mean, I get lights, the whole thing. And I'm thinking, you know, I have outdone myself, as I tend to do. So I'm going to go to this party and really show up Ken and Angela here, because I have clearly got this ugly sweater contest won by a mile. So I make my way up to the party. I have my ugly, you know, poncho at this point. I have my ugly poncho on. And I walk into the party and I see Ken and Angela. And Larry, of course, says, oh, you know, he's just wearing this tree skirt, you know. So, oh, my gosh, he doesn't have an ugly sweater. He's wearing this tree skirt. I should know better. Ken and Angela are two of the most creative people I've ever met. And so they've spent the entire week making their Angela's outfit and Ken's ugly tree skirt sweater over the top, crazy, insane, with lights. It is off the chain. Craziest thing I've ever seen. So I just humbly bow to you, Ken and Angela Downey from Downey's Desserts here in Southern California, for your amazing ugly sweater capabilities and the fact that you're already planning what you're going to do next year to win. So here's the deal. At the end, towards the middle of the party, the Bayos give out a ugliest sweater female, ugliest sweater male, and then a best in show. So here I am thinking, you know, I've done really well. Ken and Angela stole the show, hands down. Nobody else even came close. So Angela won for best worst female sweater, and Ken won for best worst, you know, male, and then they both together won best in show. Unheard of, never has happened in the past. Who knows if it will ever happen again, but they certainly deserve that. So I bring all of this up because through that fantastic party, I met some wonderful new friends, Carlos and Myrna, also Natalie, and Natalie approached me a few weeks ago. She sent me a note and says, you know, hey, let's everybody get together for lunch, da-da-da-da-da. So we went up to Buca di Beppo in Encino yesterday, and I didn't know it was possible to have a three-hour lunch, but we had a three-hour lunch. Had just some of the most enjoyable conversation. Ken and Angela were there. Carlos and Myrna were there. Natalie was there. I was there. You know, we had a couple of people that didn't show up, but I will tell you, it was one of the funnest things that I've done on a Sunday afternoon in years, and just some of the best people ever. So big thanks to Angela and Ken for helping open some of those doors this year. I will tell you that. I'm very grateful to you, as always. So if you are in Southern California and are looking to cater a party, a wedding, an office event, or something like that, and you want some desserts, bite-sized desserts that are just amazing, that you want to treat, splurge with people, contact Ken and Angela. They will take you to a new level of superstardom in your organization. I'm going to play one more song for you. We'll come back, and I've got a couple more stories, and we'll wrap up the night. Summer. That song never gets old. That and Bad Girls, Toot Toot Beep Beep. I don't know why, that just rivets me. And I think that song was popular when I was in the, you know, seventh grade, eighth grade, something like that. I know because I had the big crush on Debbie Coffey at the time. You know, and she was the prettiest girl in school, at least in my eyes, and always had another boyfriend. And that song would play at the seventh and eighth grade sock hops that we would have whenever those were. I don't even remember the occasions for them, but I always remember they always played Donna Summer. That the song they always played was Turn Out the Lights. Oh, those were the days. So if you have not purchased my first album, Eyes Wide, number one, shame on you. But I'm going to tell you, you can hear the songs for free. I don't know how this happened. I don't understand it. But now, I don't care. I'm celebrating it. YouTube, yes, all four of my songs on my first EP, which are Tell Me Something More, Eyes Wide, Fog, and Guess What? It's Christmas Time. All four of those songs, now you can hear them on YouTube. I don't know how they got it, but they have my album picture there, and each of the songs are listed individually, and you can play the songs. And I'm going to tell you something that's even a little creepier. They sound really good off of the YouTube. I was like, I'm going to go back to my iTunes library that I have on the computer and play it, and then play it on the YouTube. I think the YouTube sounds really good. I don't like to admit that, though. So I'm pretending on live radio that I did not just tell you that if you go take a look at my songs on YouTube, you can hear them for free on your computer. Eyes Wide, Tell Me Something More, Fog, and Guess What? It's Christmas Time. One thing I can tell you is that the new album is nearing completion. And for everybody who's been saying, when are you going to have some new music out? I have got 10 songs that are going to change the world. And then I've got one more. So the 10 songs that I've got range anywhere from a tribal chant. I've got a couple of ballads. I've got some rock and roll. There's even a song I don't sing like Marilyn Manson, but I'm singing in a very gravelly voice. You know, like, I don't think that's Garrett. It's me. My producer and I aren't really thrilled with how that's turning out right now, so we may be changing the direction on that by the time that's done. I've also got a Halloween song. I've got a gay marriage song. I've got a drag queen song. I've got all kinds of songs that are going to be on here. And then I've got one more that is going to rivet the very foundation of our nation. And I can't tell you anything more about it other than it will change my life. But it's probably going to change the way America looks at music today. And that is a song I'm writing. And I'm going through this process where I just kind of like free flow and write, free associate, and just put down whatever comes to my mind. And then once I feel I'm done doing that, I just take whatever I've written, and right now I'm at about 3.5 pages of just notes. And then I kind of start condensing it down and getting into some more constructive thoughts. So that's kind of the process where I'm at right now, but I'm not done writing. I sat down last night to do some more work on the lyrics, and I ended up going in a completely different direction. I'm not going to use it for the song, but it was really fun to do. So if you have something that you really want to do in life, I'm telling you, you need to go do that this year. I don't care if it's making ugly sweaters, if it is making desserts, if it's making music, if it's writing a book, if it's doing a TV show or anything else like that. Please go find 20 minutes out of your day and do it. I know we have some people on the line that are aspiring writers and published writers. They all will tell you that, you know, you need to sit down for 20, 30 minutes a day and just write. If you're going to be a writer, do it. And you might say, I don't have 15 minutes a day. I don't have a half an hour. I don't have an hour. Fine. Start with what you do have. There's probably times where you're sitting here listening to the radio show here every Monday through Friday at 7 o'clock Pacific Standard Time where you're going like, you know, Garrett's playing a song. I could sit down and jot down some notes, or I could think about something I want to do. Do that this year. Make this the year that you be the change that you want to be, all of those fun sayings, but do it. And when you do it, I want you to tell me about it. And if you want, you can come on the show and you can be a guest, and we'll talk about whatever project it is that is making your life exciting and taking you out of the doldrums of whatever it is that you do to pay the bills Monday through Friday, because we've all got those. Let's see here. We've got some more news that I was going to cover, but you know what? We're not going to do it tonight because we are nearly out of time. And that means only one thing, that tomorrow night, Dr. Annie Ulrich is back. Thank you for all of your survey results as well, because I sent out, and it's still available online. So if you would like to take the Rated G Radio listener survey, please do so. I really do try to create programming that you want to hear, have a variety of different guests and topics and music and all of that fun stuff. And it's all from the feedback that you provide here. I've got so many more things that are coming up this year to share with you. I'll be sharing some of those things with you later in the week. And tomorrow night, again, Dr. Annie Ulrich, she's going to be talking about the 2015 Energy Overview. If you would like to call and ask a question, please do so. She loves your calls. You can always call 323-657-1493, and that is the hotline number. Until then, I wish you a very great start to your 2015.
That dog in the window, the one with the waggly tail. How much is that dog in the window? I do hope that doggie's for sale. I must take a trip to California and leave my poor sweetheart alone. If he has a dog, he won't be lonesome, and the doggie will have a good home. How much is that doggie in the window, the one with the waggly tail? How much that doggie in the window? I do hope that doggie's for sale. I read in the papers there are robbers with flashlights that shine in the dark. My love needs a doggie to protect him and scare them away with one bar. I don't want a bunny or a kitty. I don't want a parrot that talks. I don't want a bowl of little fishies. He can't take a goldfish for a walk. How much is that dog?
You've been listening to Rated G Radio.